recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Everybody, welcome to Back to the Ring, where tonight we got an extra super special episode for you. I'm here as always with D-Rod. How you doing tonight, D-Rod?
Oh, it's gonna be good tonight.
It's gonna be heated. It's gonna be something. And of course, we are joined by extra special field reporter Bama Dave, who I see is yet again in a stadium full of people not socially distancing
or masked
or wearing masks.
Oh well, roll tide, everybody. In Alabama, we're all vaccinated for the most part. Or we highly encourage it.
All right, so here's what's going down on tonight's show. We're not doing NXT UK. We did that on wrestling, according to D-Rod. D-Rod, you got the address for that?
Yeah, I'll plug it in the chat for sure.
All right. We did that on wrestling, according to D-Rod, so we can focus on tonight. Now, tonight we have a 16-match tournament to determine the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. Now, of course, this is according to us, but I think we got pretty good taste, and this is a damn good list. So it's good if it's not yours is probably already on this list. Dave, do you want to go over how you put this list together and everything?
Absolutely. Those of you that may have seen our previous 16-team thing where we did the greatest tag teams of all time, and I highly encourage you, go to the channel and find that and watch it. It was a really good discussion. I enjoyed it. All I did was I put in to Google best WrestleMania matches of all time. And like the first 30 credible articles, we'll call the number 30. It was about somewhere around there. The first 30 credible articles I went in, I read why they picked those matches, so forth and so on. And then every time I read an article and that match appeared again, I put a check next to it. And so after 30 articles, 50 plus matches, I went back and I said, okay, of these 50, what are the top 16 matches on this list? It came down to a tie for the 16th spot, and we voted on Twitter in a runoff vote, and the one with the most votes got in at the 16th spot. And so I'm really excited about this. Those are the 16. All of us have watched all of these matches over the last month and a half or so, and these guys know what the matches are, but they don't know what seed the match is placed in on the tournament, which makes this fun because it'll be a surprise every time I announce where it is on the bracket. So follow along with us. Please interact with us in the chat. We will shout you out and speak your comment. Bob, is there anything you want to add before we get started?
No, I'm looking forward to this. Have been for a month. We've been pushing it. So I hope everybody, I hope the juice is worth the squeeze, to quote Trent Seven. I had to get that in there, D-Rod.
Yeah, I know you did.
Anything you want to say real quick before we get started, D-Rod?
No, tonight is going to be good, and we ain't going to have no broccoli or basil leaves tonight, but it's going to be good. And I know Bob loves his basil leaves, but tonight we focused on WrestleMania matches. So, Dave, take us away.
All right, guys, let's have it.
Let's do this. Okay, so we're going to start right in the middle, and we're going to work our way down to the number one versus the number 16. So right in the middle of the bracket is number eight versus number nine. And so let me set you guys up. The number nine match on this bracket, I'm going to take you guys back to March 20th, 1994, to Madison Square Garden in New York City. Attendance in audience in attendance, 18,065. The referee for this match was Earl Hebner. We have brother versus brother, Owen versus Bret Hart, WrestleMania 10. This is our first match of the evening. That is facing off against the number eight match on the bracket. Guys, exact same venue, Madison Square Garden, the very same date, March the 20th, 1994. The referee for this match was also Earl Hebner. This is Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon, WrestleMania 10, the first ever televised iconic ladder match at WrestleMania. Brett versus Owen, HBK versus Razor, WrestleMania 10 showdown.
I mean, on paper, that's a difficult one because Brett versus Owen is such a great match. And it really shows like that Owen, and a lot of people said this, Brett himself says this, that Owen was better in the ring than he was because he was more versatile, could do more. However, I can't, that ladder match is beyond iconic. Like they did things in that match that people will continue to do for the rest of the world. For as long as professional wrestling exists, that ladder match is going to be influential, whether the people doing a ladder match realize it or not. That is probably the most influential ladder match ever. And it's good. And it's got great rewatch value. You can watch it 20 times and you're still just on the edge of your seat. So I'm going with Razor and Sean on that one. As much as I love Brett and Owen, Razor and Sean.
Oh, goodness. This, you know, when it comes down to these two matches, because this is going to get hard for me personally, because over the past month, I've watched these matches, studied them, looked at them, and just been a fan. And Bret Hart versus Owen Hart is a classic, but if I'm going to go personal on this level, watching Shawn Michaels dive off that ladder onto Razor Ramon, it's just so good. So
that's one of the prettiest awful ladder flashes ever.
Yes.
Like, and the photos of it are just iconic. You see them every time I see it, I'm like, I know exactly where that was.
Yeah. Yes.
So I'm gonna go Razor and Michaels also.
Absolutely, guys. I mean, it's funny. The Bret versus Owen match was called arguably the greatest opening match in WrestleMania history. It was the first on the card. So talk about setting the tone for the rest of the night. And I agree with you guys. I would have picked this match too. Pat Patterson is quoted as saying, in this match, Shawn Michaels went out there and had a match with a ladder. Razor just happened to be there. I mean, God rest in peace, Pat Patterson. But man, Razor took some serious bumps in that. And Shawn literally just threw his body in reckless abandon with that ladder. And fun fact, there was no spare ladder for that match. It was the only one.
That's why they had to use the ladder. I was wondering when it got twisted like that, I was like, oh, there's no spare. They just have to, like, which is part of the reason why Razor fell off the ladder at the end, because that thing was only on three legs and was wobbling. Exactly. Over like half the match, the thing was wobbling. But it's
brilliant.
All right, brilliant. On to the next one.
Absolutely. Next match on the list at number 10. I can already feel the pain going to come from this one. I'm taking you guys back to March the 30th, 2008. We're at the Citrus Bowl in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, no.
74,635 people in attendance. The referee for this match, appropriately, Little Nate, Charles Robinson. I'm talking about Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair, career-threatening match at WrestleMania 24. This is the match where Shawn Michaels retired the Nature Boy Ric Flair. That's number 10 on the list. Versus number 7, we're going to go March 31st, 1996, to the Arrowhead Pond in Anaheim, California. 18,853 in attendance. Earl Hebner is the referee. Shawn Michaels won his first world championship in a 60-minute Iron Man match in sudden death at WrestleMania 12. Shawn and Brett, 60-minute Iron Man match versus Shawn retiring the Nature Boy Ric Flair, WrestleMania 24.
Well, I think you know what I'm going to go with on this one.
I do.
It's not really much of a...
to me...
Here's a reason. Here's my reasoning, especially for this one. As great as that Iron Man match is, it has almost zero rewatchability because it's a freaking hour long. And you know you're going to be there for an hour and 20 minutes before all is said and done. Up until like the last 10 minutes, it can be kind of a boring match because there's a lot of holds and a lot. I mean, yes, there's the psychology of it. And yes, there's a lot of close finishes. But frankly, it's not a super exciting match all the way through. So you can't rewatch it time and time again. I actually skip over it almost any time it comes up on a DVD set because I'm just like, I don't have an hour to just sit here and watch a match. Not saying it's not a great match, not saying it doesn't belong on this list, but rewatch value, it doesn't have that much. And I'll talk about Flair and Shawn Michaels later, but this, as far as this match goes, I think it's more the Iron Man match doesn't have rewatch value than anything else.
D-Rod?
Oh, this is going to get hard, but but this right here, this is not hard for me, like Bob, because, like Bob said, rewatch value, Bob made a great point about the last 10 minutes. I was going to say something similar about 5 to 10 minutes. At the end of the matchup is the greatest parts of the matchup. And when you got something like Flair versus Michaels, you just can't. It's going to get hard because this match, I have a feeling, is going to make it a long ways in this tournament. And so I'm going to go with Michaels versus Flair. And I know Bob's going to break that down probably once we get farther in. Because yeah. It is probably, Bob, I would say, probably one of your favorite matches, if not your favorite.
I think Bob's quoted and said this is his favorite match.
Okay, it is your favorite.
It's one of my favorite matches of all time.
Gotcha.
Like it makes that list. So, yeah, it's, you guys are going to have to gang up on me.
All right, guys. Well, I would have easily picked it too. Yeah, the Iron Man match, I will say this, rewatchable, it's difficult, but please, if you've never seen it, you need to watch that match. It is a classic, great match of technical ability, telling a story move for move. It is slow and boring at times because they had to pace themselves. It had never been done before. They wanted to make sure they did it right.
It had never been done in the WWF.
Right.
You'd had 60-minute matches with Flair and Steamboat and Flair and Funk and Flair and pretty much anybody. You've had 60-minute matches going all the way back to the 60s. Right. Even in the 80s, you had 90-minute long matches. So
absolutely,
to say that a 60-minute match had never been done, it had never been done in WWF.
And at WrestleMania.
So I'm putting a little caveat on that there.
Absolutely. All right, guys, that's an easy pick. HBK versus Flair, we'll move forward. We're going to go now to number 11 on the list. We're going to take you guys back to March 17th, 2002. We're going to the Sky Dome in Toronto, Canada. 68,237 are in attendance. Referee Mike Chioda is running this match. Oh, my gosh, guys. One of the most iconic turns in a match in WrestleMania history. Hollywood Hulk Hogan versus The Rock at WrestleMania 18, the Icon versus Icon match. That's number 11 on this list. All right, that's going up against, though, this is going to be difficult. Maybe, maybe not. March the 28th, 2010, University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. 72,219 are in attendance. Once again, interestingly, referee Charles Robinson is refereeing this match. Streak versus the career of Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker, WrestleMania 26. That's intriguing to me. Charles got Rick's retirement match and Shawn's. That was interesting to me.
Well, if I remember correctly, Robinson worked a lot of Shawn's matches after he came back for the second one. A lot of his big matches, too.
Yes.
He's a good big match referee. Although I think Mike Chioda does not get nearly as much credit as he deserves for being good.
Oh, man, he's so underrated. I love Mike Chioda.
Yeah. As far as this matchup goes, there's a couple of things. One, the retirement versus streak match, and no matter how good that match is not as good as the first Undertaker song.
Yes, yes.
No, it's not. You're right. So, it's not.
You know, and it's, I mean, I understand there's a story there, and it is a completely different match. Mm. It is still a great match. Like I said, every match in this tournament belongs in this tournament. Like,
yes,
this list is a fantastic list, and Dave, you did such a good job putting this together. But
thank you.
When you compare these two matches, man, Hogan and Brock is so good. It is so good. The crowd is unbelievably hot for this match. Like, I don't think I can remember the last time I saw a WrestleMania where the crowd was this hot before the match even started, when guys were just coming to the ring and they were pumped up this much. Also, I mean, it's a great Hulk Hogan match. It's a great Rock match. Like, these guys feed off the crowd. They barely touch each other for the first, 3 minutes of the match. They just kind of stare at each other, and the crowd goes batshit crazy for it. You got Hogan doing the baby face turn. It's funny because they actually, from what I've heard, and this, don't quote me on this, that they had a almost completely different match actually stamped out that they were going to do. But when the crowd was so behind Hogan, they were like, we can't do that match. We cannot do that match at all. We have to. So they basically called that whole match in the ring, which is, not a lot of people will do that anymore. Mm-hmm. But so for pure emotion and pure just, I like it better, Hogan and The Rock. Sorry, Sean. I love it.
No, I totally agree, Bob, because, this is the second time I've seen Rock versus Hogan. I was a lot younger when I watched it the first time. This time is a totally different experience. Oh my goodness, I was just enthralled with it. I was just sitting there and I'm just staring like this is great. And yep. I was just like, and you're right, Bob. They just stared at each other, and you know that The Rock and Hogan was thinking, we got them in the palm of our hands now. Just by that stare off right there at the beginning. And the match with that crowd, you didn't have to do much, but Hogan and Rock, man, they put it out there, and I loved every minute of it. So I'm going to go with Hogan versus Rock, because this one's an easy one for me, and I was going to make that same point, Bob, that the previous match between Shawn and Taker was, in my opinion, much better than this one. So,
I want to say something real quick, and this is kind of something I'm going to get at a little bit later on when we get to another match, but the Hogan Rock match was a WrestleMania moment that came out of a great match, and that's important to take note of. Just keep that in the back of your mind for later on when we get to another match.
100% agree, guys. I mean, as much as I love Shawn, y'all know he's my goat, and as much as I love him, and Bob's right, WrestleMania 25 versus 26, Shawn was much more intense because his career was on the line, so he was fighting with everything he had, and Undertaker brought a lot more intensity back. So it's definitely a different match to watch. I encourage you guys to watch them both. So the only other mark I'd say on it is that some people call it the greatest rematch in WWE history between 1-2. That's arguable. There's been a lot of great rematches between, The Rock and Stone Cold had 3, and they were all great. But as far as, 1-2, no question to me, 1 is better than 2. But I would have picked the same thing. Rock and Hogan, that iconic looking at each other, looking this way, then looking this way, magic. You cannot create that with a script. And that's when they called it.
Hogan's got Hulk Hogan face on, and The Rock's got the eyebrow raised, and it's just it's perfect. And the crowd's just going, I swear to God, the crowd just went batshit fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And that's another thing is the crowd is important. Well, how it makes me feel when I watch it. If I pop for a match that I've seen 20 times and I still pop for it, that's a good match. Anyway, that's next one.
Absolutely, 100% agree. Let's go now to number 12 on the list, guys. We're going to April 3rd, 2005, to the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. 20,193 are in attendance. This time we got Earl's son, Brian Hebner, refereeing this match. This is one of the few matches on this list that had no stipulation. It was just a regular match. This is Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 21. Simply, who's the best wrestler walking the planet right now was the whole storyline buildup to this match. It's going up against the number five on the list. And again, I'm rank, and I may have forgot to say this at the beginning. The number they're in is how many votes they got overall. So if it's up at number five, it got a lot of votes. Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock at WrestleMania 17, April 1st, 2001, at the Astrodome in Houston, Texas. 67,925 in attendance. Earl Hebner is refereeing that match. One of the iconic moments for this is that it was made no disqualification right before the match took place. This is also the match where Stone Cold made his famous heel turn and aligned himself with Vince McMahon. So we got Stone Cold versus The Rock, WrestleMania 17, versus Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle, WrestleMania 21.
Do you want to take this one first, D-Rock? I've been jumping out the gate and going first.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I'll go first. I love The Rock. I love Stone Cold. I just want to put that out there for people listening. But
what?
But
worst thing to ever happen to a live audience ever was the freaking what chant, because they do it all the time now. And it's always disruptive. And it's always
It's only funny when you do it like I just did it. That's the only time it's funny.
Yeah. It's gonna probably get worse once live crowds come back, because it'll be
what?
I tell you, Bob, I'm gonna get the basil leaves if you keep on.
I'll say this:
on the floor.
I've missed crowds so much. I'll forgive it for like the first month, and then I'm like, stop it.
No, but what I was saying, I love Rock, I love Stone Cold. But if I'm going to go favoritism, I'm going to go wrestling match. Yeah, I gotta go with Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle. Because if we're going to look at wrestling skills in the ring, what a match. Ooh. I tell you, it just blows my mind when I was watching it. So, I don't know. I got to go with that one, though.
Yeah. Angle and Michaels popped me, because I hadn't seen it in a hot minute. And it popped me when I was watching it, because it is so, so good. Just fantastic from beginning to end. Sean, when they do the grappling on the ground at the very beginning, and Sean's getting the better of Kurt Angle, and Kurt's it's frustrated and finally start throwing strikes, and it's perfect. The storytelling in that match is great, which is kind of the exact opposite of the Rock and Stone Cold. As much as I like Stone Cold and I like The Rock, this was one of the stupidest, worst booking ideas Vince has ever had, ever. Okay, number one, I don't like no DQ matches anyway, and you turn it no DQ right before the match. Two, the afterbirth, the heel turn in the middle of Texas.
Terrible.
With your most popular babyface. Like, it didn't go over. No one liked it. The crowd was still cheering for Stone Cold when he was supposed to be healing and aligned with Vince McMahon. And normally I would say, you know, you got to leave the afterbirth and stipulations out of it. But the stipulation and the afterbirth were part of the storyline of the match. Like, Vince actually interfered in the match for the win. So I almost wanted to take this one off the list, because I thought the booking and the ending of it was so bad, and then changed my mind, because I was like, look, I can actually, this is a teachable moment.
Hmm.
It's so bad. And the match isn't bad, but it's not particularly great. They just kind of walk around punching each other and running each other's face into stuff, you know. Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle, all day, every day, twice on Sunday.
100% agree, guys. This is one of the easiest choices for me. The only thing I will say that was intriguing about this is that, believe it or not, you can believe if you watch it, Austin hit Rock 16 times with that chair, not counting the times Vince McMahon hit him. And there was a little bit of a throwback, too. Austin used the sharpshooter on the Rock, which has almost never happened. And he actually went back and using the $1 million dream when he was the ringmaster. So there's a little bit of storytelling. Mm-hmm. It's like the evolution of Stone Cold's career in this match. And funny enough, I think you both have probably read this. Stone Cold has gone on record to say if he could go back and do it again, the moment Vince extends his hand, he would have stunned him. And he would have gone over back in the babyface.
Oh, yeah. Go into business for yourself. If they're giving you bad booking, go into business for yourself, because especially since he was the top babyface in the company at the time. Vince would have had to have gone with it, because what else are you going to do? Fire Stone Cold Steve Austin? The number one money draw for years? No.
No. 100% agree. 100% agree. All right. Now we're going to move over to number 13 on the list. I'm taking you guys to April the 1st, 2012. Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, Florida. There's 78,363 in attendance here. The referee for this match is Shawn Michaels. Mm. This is the end of the era Hell in a Cell match, Triple H versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania 28. This is going up against number 4 on the list. Oh, I'm taking you guys to March 29th, 1987, to the Pontiac Superdome in Detroit, Michigan. 93,173 are in attendance. Dave Hebner is refereeing this match. This is for the Intercontinental Championship. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Crap.
WrestleMania 3.
Crap, Dave.
Arguably one of the most amazingly booked technical matches of all time is this match at WrestleMania 3, going up against one of the most emotional matches of all time. And Triple H versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania 28, Hell in a Cell.
I'm going to need time to simmer here, Bob. You're going to have to take this one for a second.
Well, you're not going to be happy.
I knew this was going to kill D-Rod.
This is going to kill me.
This is going to kill you.
Okay, so here we go. Look, Steamboat and Savage. And I've actually kind of given this match a lot of shit over the years, because the way I remembered it, George the Animal Steel was all over being involved in this match. He's actually really not. If you go back and you watch the match, he's only involved for maybe not even 30 seconds of the total match time that they have together. The
still
story
30 seconds
Steamboat,
too many.
Well, anyway, the story Steamboat and Savage tell in this match, the way it's put together, the Savage's unbelievable agility. It's actually, it's funny, on the drive-thru or the experience the other day, Jim was talking about, apparently Bobby Eaton and Savage worked together in one of the territories. And Bobby Eaton said that you know how good of an athlete Bobby Eaton was. He could never get down that running over the top rope choke that Savage does, where he runs the guy. So it's just, but it's the storytelling's so good. The way Savage put that match together is just, it's perfect. And I can't do this one for Triple H and Undertaker, because one, it's Hell in a Cell. Two, you had to get a special guest referee involved. I can't. Also, it's a retirement match where the guy doesn't freaking retire. I'm sorry, Triple H did not retire in the retirement match. Because it was supposed to be, am I right? Wasn't it a retirement match?
No, that was him versus Brock the next year.
Okay, well, he didn't retire in that match either, I guess. I always assumed it was a retirement match.
It was just the end of the era, saying that once this match is over, there will never be us again.
Still going with Steamboat and Savage. Even if I was wrong.
D-Rod, you need more time?
Oh, I may need more time. Because I know you got some good points, Bob. And yes, this is tearing me apart, because I love both matches. I really do. I love both deeply. Because first time I ever watched Steamboat and Savage go one-on-one, was this WrestleMania. And I just was glued to the TV screen. And this is so hard for me, because if I'm going to pick a time period of where my wrestling interest was at peak, would be Triple H versus Undertaker during that time. And it's a personal matchup that I just love, not only because I'm a Triple H fan, but because this is one of my favorite Triple H matches. And I know it's Hell in a Cell and all this, but it's just one of those matches that I just gravitate towards. But yeah, I know, Ro, this one is hard.
Very hard.
It's very hard. But
if you need me to be the bad guy and break the tie, D-Rod, I'll do it.
I'm gonna make you break the tie, Dave, and you're gonna break my heart. I know, but I'm going Triple H versus none other than The Undertaker. So, Dave.
That's all right. It's going to happen to me at some point too.
Yeah, it happened to me, Bob.
Let's see if I can process this out. Okay, WrestleMania 3 had the iconic entrances riding that platform thing to the front. That alone let the crowd get into it and get excited about the match.
Except for Piper, who ran to the ring because his thing wouldn't work. And they regretted running to the ring halfway there. He talks about it on his DVD. He's like, I was just like, fuck it, I'll just run to the ring. And then he's like, halfway there, I was like, damn, this is a lot longer than I thought it was.
That fits Piper so well.
Exactly. I felt the same way every time I watched that Ultimate Warrior run. I'm like, what the crap are you doing, man? Man, you're going to be so blown by the time you're... Oh, man, for sure. Jesse Ventura called that match the greatest match he's ever seen. Even to this day, he still calls that like one of his favorites. Savage was so particular. He even told the referee, if we slip and you count three before the finish, who cares? You cannot get heat for this match. So Savage was beautiful. This match had 22 false finishes before the final one. That's how many times they tried to pin each other. Just incredibly scripted to make it work.
But it all made sense. It wasn't like they were just doing spots, having a doing spot, two count, spot, two count. Sorry, I want to make that.
No,
I want to make that that clear.
Agreed. It wasn't like The Rock and Stone Cold in 17 where they were doing false finishes left and right just because they felt like they could. Yeah, I agree completely. But now we go to the Hell in a Cell match. Undertaker requested Jim Ross must call this match because he had called so many matches for this era of their kind of wrestling. I agree with a lot of wrestling fans that this should have been Taker's last match.
Yes.
And he should have gone out at 20-0, you know, for this. This match had a lot of emotional moments. Shawn slumping in the corner going, what the crap are we going to do? How's this match going to end? The final sequence of them holding each other at the top of that ramp, it got me. It was such an emotional match. This is tough for me. This is very tough for me. The story leading up to both matches is what I used to break the tie on this. Steamboat and Savage had a great story going into their match. But that Hell in a Cell match had a 4-year story from WrestleMania 25 to WrestleMania 28. I can't go against that match at WrestleMania 28. I can't. I know that's tough for a lot of people out there, but the story is so good for, between those three guys. I can't.
And Dave,
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Steamboat getting hit in the throat with the ring bell and not being able to speak for almost a year.
I know.
That's whatever.
You know,
Triple H wants to have a match with Undertaker and another match with Undertaker because they had one the year before and that one wasn't even good enough to make the list. But
it almost did. It was like two votes away. It almost did. All right.
You know, right. Dave, hold on.
It's going to come back around. I know.
It's going to come back around. And I'm going to mention something when it comes back around. And that's ending of that matchup.
All right. Number 14 on the list. April 6, 2014, we're going to the Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana. 75,167 in attendance. Referee Rob Zapata is refereeing this match. This is a triple threat match for the WWE and World Heavyweight Championship to unite them under the winner, Daniel Bryan versus Batista versus Randy Orton, WrestleMania 30. And Daniel Bryan had to qualify in the opening match of the night to get into that match by beating Triple H in the first match. But it's going up against WrestleMania, the third match on the card. I'm sorry. March 23rd, 1997. We're in the Allstate Arena in Chicago, Illinois. 18,197 are in attendance. Special guest referee for this match is MMA legend Ken Shamrock. It's a no disqualification submission match between the Hitman Bret Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin, the WrestleMania 13 Crimson Mask moment and one of the greatest executed double turns in history in this match. Bob, you want to start it? Brett versus Stone Cold versus
Brett versus Stone Cold wins here all day, every day, twice on Sunday. Two reasons. One, it's a great match. It just is hands down such a good professional wrestling match. And even with the blood, it's still a great professional wrestling match. Like, for that match for me has always been someone I had a hard time watching because the first couple of times I watched it, just the amount of blood that Stone Cold bleeds because he doesn't have any hair. So there's nowhere for that blood to kind of get soaked up and stick. So it just goes all over the place. But he works it too. Like they, you know, Brett beats the top of his head and kind of lays his head into the mat to make sure it like pulls up and looks particularly gruesome. But it's still a great wrestling match. And this is where I wanted to talk about. This is a match that made a moment. You see what I'm saying? A WrestleMania moment came out of this match. Mm. The triple threat is a pretty good Randy Orton match. Mm. Randy Orton has a great match. You know, he kind of beats up Batista. He beats up Daniel Bryan. But this is a moment that they wanted to have that they just put a match underneath, essentially. Right. They tried too hard to create a moment. And that's why there's not that many more recent WrestleMania matches on this list is because in the past, 5 years longer, WWE's been more worried about creating these big WrestleMania moments than putting together a good card and just letting moments happen. Because that's when they happen. They happen spontaneously. You can't make a WrestleMania moment happen or you end up with Stone Cold turning heel and nobody buys it. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
100% agree.
So that Daniel Bryan match it's a great moment. Daniel Bryan win the championship, I agree. It's a great moment. Wonderful. But the match leading up to it is not very good. Batista's blown up the whole match, barely does anything. Mm. Randy does all the heavy lifting because Daniel Bryan is, you know, still recovering from the match with Triple H, which is probably the match that should have been on this thing in the beginning.
Great match.
Because that's a much better freaking match.
Yes.
It's a Brett and Stone Cold.
I'm going to go the same way because, like Bob said, I mean, we're comparing WrestleMania matches here. Daniel Bryan winning, yeah, that's great. It popped me when I was watching it live. But if I'm going to go look at a matchup and say, okay, looking at it thoroughly, you better believe that I'm going to go Stone Cold versus Bret Hart. Because, I mean, it's not even close in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, that's a great match. You want to see another good Bret Hart Stone Cold match. I think they had a match at King of the Ring a couple of years before that. That's actually just as good, if not a better match, but it wasn't at Mania, so it doesn't get on here. But, yeah, it's because this was before his knee injury and the neck injury. So Stone Cold was still, like, wrestling like a wrestler. After the neck and the knee injury, he kind of, his style changed a whole lot. But when he could still wrestle, man, he was just, he was so good. Sorry.
No, by all means, say all this stuff all you guys want to. The triple threat match with Daniel Bryan, this was the fans overruling creative because Daniel Bryan was not even supposed to be in this match. This was supposed to be Batista's triumphant return to get back into the title picture and cement Randy Orton, and the fans wanted Daniel Bryan. And so finally, Triple H and Stephanie said, Vince, listen to them. They want him. I'll shine him up in the first match. Stephanie will give him the evil eyes. We'll make him a superstar. And it took them 6 months to do it. Finally, Vince got on board and let it happen. But it was – That's the emotion of that match is that it's not supposed to happen, and finally we get it happening. So, but no, in terms of watchability and moments in the match, I still watch Stone Cold and Bret over and over again, and I get something every time I watch it. Beautifully done. The only trivia I'm sure Bob has plenty more on that match. The only trivia I'll get is to the last minute before Stone Cold hit that guardrail and cut himself open, he didn't want to do it. Bret, he even said, "I don't think Vince will let me. I don't think I'm supposed to bleed." And Bret said, "Do it." He slammed him into the guardrail and then he cut himself.
Well, that's one of those things about Bret is Bret would go into business for himself in a heartbeat if he felt he needed to. He would do whatever he thought would be the best match and put his opponent over the best way possible, because that's all he talks about. When you hear him talk about the Davey Boy match at SummerSlam 92, all he talks about is how he wanted to get Davey Boy over and have a great match. Another thing I was going to say, I know we're going to do honorable mentions later, but this one just popped into my head. Kofi and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Wow. I know it's not on this list, but man, that's one of my all-time favorites, because that again is a great match. Like, I realize that it's a great WrestleMania moment with Kofi winning and everything, but him and Daniel they tore the house down.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Like, they had the best match that Mania by like leaps and bounds.
Agreed.
So I just wanted to throw that out there, because Kofi's the shit and his title reign is supremely underrated. Sorry.
Yeah. No, thank you. Do more of that, both of you. All right, now we're going to go to number 15 versus number 2. And guys, I'm going to break rule and I'm going to do number 2 this time first. I'm taking you guys back to April 1st, 2001, to the Astrodome in Houston, Texas, WrestleMania 17. 67,925 in attendance. Multiple referees all surrounding the ring in this match. This is the infamous TLC 2 between the Hardy Boys, the Dudley Boys, and Edge and Christian, in which Edge and Christian win in the TLC 2 match at WrestleMania 17. But this is going up against number 15 on the list, and I can already promise you this probably will be the biggest upset of this tournament. We're going to March 14th, 2004. Madison Square Garden at WrestleMania 20. 20,000 in attendance. Nick Patrick's the referee. WWE title is on the line. Kurt Angle challenging Eddie Guerrero at WrestleMania 20.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes. I'm so happy this is the matchup.
This is the way it fell.
D-Rod, do you want to go first?
Yes, because I know you got a few things to say, Bob, here. Because me and you on Wrestling Court and D-Rod, after it is over with, I said, there is one match that I cannot wait for you, Bob, to get on. And we finally get here, and I can't wait. But if I'm going to be, this is no contest for me, because, you know, nothing against the tag teams or anything, but Eddie Guerrero versus Kurt Angle. I mean, you talk about an ending. You don't get better. Because Eddie Guerrero playing Eddie Guerrero is just gold. And I've got to go. And, most people out there is going to watch this and they're going to say, guys, how could you go against TLC 2? Well, Bob's fixing to explain that to you. And I can't wait for it. So, Bob, take it away.
Well, okay. First of all, Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle is a fantastic match.
Yes.
And since it's obviously going to make it to the next round, I'll save the next round to talk about that match. Because it's just brilliant. TLC 2 is a damn car wreck. Happening
as it was intended to be.
While everybody watches. Which, that's, if you like watching car wrecks, that's fine. I don't go on YouTube and look up car wrecks to watch them. It doesn't make any sense. People go through multiple tables and still get up and attack other people. People set up tables in the middle of a fight for no reason other than to set them up. Oh, hey, I'm in a fight with you. Oh, you're down for 30 seconds. Let me go set up a table. It's a spot show. It's a giant, giant spot show. And it's crap like this that led to people like the Young Bucks becoming involved in professional wrestling and thinking that what they do is professional wrestling. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know you all love this match. I'm sorry. Everybody loves this match because it's the Hardy Boys and it's the Dudleys and it's Edge and Christian. This match is the drizzling shits because it makes no sense. There's no story in this match. It's just people doing spots for the sake of doing spots to get people to chant holy shit or to get people to go, it's not a wrestling match. It's a car accident. That's all I got to say about it.
I could not agree more because it's what it's intended to be. Eyeball catching WrestleMania moments that were predetermined and pre-created. I will take nothing away from the six men putting their bodies on the line to create these moments. When Bubba and Matt fly off the ladder and go through four tables, yeah, that hurts. And I applaud them for being willing to do that. When Edge speared Jeff Hardy from the ladder to him hanging on the belts, wow. I agree. And there was a lot of moments that were improvised because ladders would fall or something would shift, and Edge was like, hey.
Let me say something real quick.
Go ahead.
Also, the reason this match worked at the time is because this didn't happen every other freaking pay-per-view.
Mm. Exactly.
Now, we're so desensitized to people jumping off ladders and going through tables and getting hit with chairs that when it happens, we don't think twice about it. At this point, this was huge. Like, this was a big deal. Like, this was not something that happened all the fucking time.
Yeah.
So, I'm not taking away from the historical value of this match and what it meant. I'm just saying that it's just not for me and not my type of match.
Yeah.
And what it led to, what it has led to, is really bad for professional wrestling overall.
Agreed.
In my opinion.
No.
Sorry.
No, you're 100% right. 100% agree. And there's so many more moments in Eddie versus Kurt we'll get to. But guys, that brings us to number 16 versus number 1.
Oh.
And number 16 on this list is the one that got voted on Twitter to get in, so you guys probably already know what it is. We're going to March 30th, 2003, to the Safeco Field in Seattle, Washington. There's 54,097 in attendance. Bob, you're going to know what this means. Charles Robertson is the referee. This is another regular match on this list, but this is the best of the past versus the best of the present, or so we thought before the match ended. This is Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 19. And, oh my gosh, I got so much I got to say about this match, but I'm going to wait until after you guys finish talking. But this is going to go against the number one seed on this list. Now, let me preface this by saying, you're going to hate this, but it doesn't matter because it got voted out already. TLC had the most votes on the list. But I didn't put it at number one because the number one match was put at number one on those lists 25 out of 30 times. Mm. That's overwhelming. It has to be number one. Number one on this list, April 5th, 2009, at Reliance Stadium in Houston, Texas. 72,744 in attendance. This dude is so lucky. Referee Marty Elias, the only match on this list that he refereed, he got this match. The Heaven versus Hell match, WrestleMania 25, Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. 25 out of 30 times, this one was ranked number one. It has to be number one on this list. D-Rod, please start this time. Because I know this is going to be difficult. This is going to be difficult for Bob because I know Bob loves both these matches. So.
Well, see, this is where it comes to play because, and I may get y'all heated over this. I may do it very much so. Shawn versus Undertaker. Number one, it deserved that, Bama. It deserved what you just said. Because, like I said, I watched the WrestleMania 26 match. I watched this match. And this match is so much better. I mean, you look at the crowd in this match. Just the choke slam got them off their feet. I mean, Undertaker takes Shawn. I mean, it's like he's 20 feet in the air. On the last ride in the choke slam in this matchup. And nothing.
Not only that, but when he hits the mat, it is like a thud. Like,
it's like, bam!
You can hear a pin drop when he hit the mat.
Everybody thought he was dead.
Yeah. But And I'll be totally honest. I don't know if it was because the day I watched the Michaels versus Jericho match, I had watched two or three more of the WrestleMania matches. I don't know if it was just me personally, but I know, Bama, you said in the beginning of this, but I'm going to say it. If somebody was to say, you know, would you go back and watch Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho? Nothing against them, but I probably would not. I didn't get anything from it, in my opinion. And, you know, y'all can hate on me all night, but I didn't get anything from it. And so that's why I'm going to go with, of course, the easy option for me here is Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know where you got the idea that I love both of these matches from. Jericho in HBK is a good match, and it was surprisingly better than I thought it was going to be. But it's a sloppy match. Jericho is very green in this match. He does a lot of things where HBK actually has to, like, what is it? It's I think he goes to put on a figure four, and HBK actually has to move his legs to get his legs right for the maneuver. It's just, it's not a polish. It's not a smooth match. I don't know what else to say about that other than Chris Jericho's work as of recently has made me to the point where I don't even really want to watch any of his early matches because I know what he turns into. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's kind of bad and not part of the match, but I can't view Chris Jericho. Also, there's no way HBK and Jericho stands up in any way to HBK and Undertaker, which is the emotion, the perseverance, Shawn Michaels' desperation in this match to win. Moment when he kicks out of the Tombstone Piledriver, and Undertaker just is like, what the hell just happened? Like, and even Jim Ross is also, here's another thing. Commentators matter. Who is on the commentary desk matters.
Yes.
The first HBK match, it's Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler, right?
Yes.
In the second one, it's, let me think, Jerry,
Michael Cole
and Taz.
And Jim. Yeah.
And Jim. Okay, so it's Jim, Michael Cole, and Taz.
Are you talking about 25 to 26?
Yeah, 26 is...
Yeah,
the
first one with 25 is Cole, Jim, and King. And the second one is Jim... Or is it just Cole and Taz?
No, it's Cole, Taz, and Lawler.
Okay.
So... The commentary on that one's completely different. But what I was saying is the commentary matters, and they're both like, that's unheard of. No one kicks out of the Tombstone. Like, at that point, I think Kane or maybe Batista, at that point, only really big dudes had kicked out of the Tombstone. No one, Shawn Michaels.
Like five people. That's it. Yeah.
So the fact that Shawn Michaels did is just phenomenal. Also, you got that great Undertaker, like, almost injury spot where he hits the cameraman. There's so many good moments in this match that just will live forever. I can't pick this over Jericho and Shawn Michaels having a pretty good match at WrestleMania. So Taker and HBK all day, every day.
The reason I thought you would enjoy this is because a couple of things. This is HBK's first match at WrestleMania in 5 years. So also what I love about this is the constant, you know, back and forth psychology of the posing, the nip up, the super kicks, and, you know, and also the one of the reasons why it looks a little sloppy is because the pacing of the match is the fastest match Shawn has had since he's come back. And Jericho is really watching his back, is really, you know, trying to make sure, crap, when I put him in the walls, I can't hurt him, you know, that kind of thing. So there's a little bit of that. What's funny, though, about this, guys, and again, I'll move on after this. This is just a really cool story. That match was supposed to be Jericho versus Edge at WrestleMania 19. And what happened was Chris brought Shawn Michaels out on the highlight reel, and while he was doing the highlight reel,
That's how Shawn Michaels' eyes got messed up.
That was later. That was later.
Oh, that was later? Okay.
Yeah, that was their second feud, which was actually better than this one. But anyway, he brought him out there.
Shawn Michaels beating the crap out of him with a leather belt, which was just, Jesus, hard to watch.
Yeah, that was the feud when Chris hit Shawn's wife. And at that point, it's over. Yeah. At that point, it's over. But in this one, what was funny is he brought him out and he ran him down saying, I'm better than you ever were now because you did all your good in the past. And the whole story of this match is Shawn still got it. That was the whole story of this match. Uh-huh. But what's funny is they came back from the highlight reel through the curtain. And according to this, I wrote this down. It says, we walked back to the back. This is Chris Jericho talking. And I remember Vince sitting there smiling, looked up at Shawn. And Shawn says, man, this is money. And Vince said, you're dang right it's money. And that's how this whole story started. It was an accident. It wasn't supposed to happen. So it's things like that that make me love it. And the first time I saw this match was in the theater when WrestleMania the movie came out. So I was surrounded by wrestling fans watching it on a huge screen with the audience atmosphere. And it was all like, and because I love Shawn, it was just a great story, a great build up to it. And I want to ask you guys that's the end of the outlying matches. How hard was this for you guys to not be in the moment of the story? Like right now we're watching TakeOver coming and WrestleMania coming. We are right in the middle of these stories that we're emotionally invested in. Was that difficult for you guys watching these matches going, I'm not back in that year living this story right now?
No, because for the most part, I mean, the matches that got me to go into that kind of place where I was in the moment watching it like a fan the first time I'd ever seen it are the ones that I am going to be, you know, pushing forward in this, because that's what a good match is supposed to do. It's supposed to bring back that moment when you first saw it and you're just like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. But I have seen a lot of these matches numerous times. Like I said, I own multiple Flair DVDs, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. So like I've seen a lot of these matches. So it wasn't hard to that, but again, like the amount that they could do that or pop me, which is kind of what I was saying. If it can pop me, if a false finish can pop me in a match that I already know the outcome of, then you're doing a damn good job.
Well, I'll answer this and give you all a little inside information. Every one of these matches except one, I was sitting down while watching. And the one match that I was standing up just enthralled with the matchup was, of course, what?
Don't ruin that.
Dave was asking about getting enthralled in the store and everything.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, save that for when it's time.
That's like giving away. Man, you don't want to do that. No, because after that, then right, the guys. Whole tournament will like the horse left the barn, and the barn burnt down. All right, guys. Before we start round two, let's take a little intermission here. I got to go take a pee real quick, and we'll be right back. You guys discuss amongst yourselves. What can I say? The body Donnas were neither great bodies, nor were any of them named Donna. Discuss.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh man,
I can't wait to tell y'all about that, Dave.
I know, because I'm looking forward to the one you picked. Yeah, none of these upsets surprised me. There was only one that I thought might be questionable, and I'm trying to remember which one it was. Savage versus Steamboat was tough on me. I really didn't want to. I'm probably never gonna hear the end of that. But
well,
and those of you in the chat, how are we doing so far? Do y'all disagree or agree with all of these? Or
I know that Crown called me out for picking Triple H versus Undertaker over
And then, he called me out even worse. Yeah, then he called me out for picking it again. Yeah, for sure. I'll say this. The most surprising one for me in terms of y'all's overall reaction was the Iron Man match.
Okay.
Just because of how iconic it was, because of how it was, you know, most people consider that possibly Bret and Shawn's some of their best work because they were able to tell the story over an hour.
Which match did that go up against, Dave?
The retirement match. I knew it didn't have a chance.
Bob. Yeah.
I'm not
your welcome back, Bob.
Lord. Body down.
I love it. Yeah.
We're not talking.
All right. We're in the quarterfinals now. We're going to go across to the other side of the bracket and work our way back up. Guys, if any more tidbits you want to add per match, by all means do it. I've only got a few little bitty things here in case they come up. But we're going to put these two against each other now. The WrestleMania 13 submission match, Stone Cold versus Bret versus Hollywood Hogan versus The Rock.
Oh.
This is what happens, guys. This is what happens.
I had a feeling like the first round was going to be kind of easy because I had matches I didn't particularly care for or ones I particularly liked. It's these last couple rounds that are just going to be torture.
It's going to be brutal.
Torture.
It's going to be brutal.
You're going to have to get involved with some of these, Dave. You better get ready too.
I don't want my hands too bloody.
Well, I'm sorry. I hate to tell you, but
they're gonna get bloody.
This is war, my friend.
I'll start, Bob, while you think about it, because I think I've got my answer pretty well in my head. When I think about Bret Hart versus Stone Cold, I think about that, just that bloodied face, locked in on the sharpshooter. And of course, you know, the double turn. But, you know, I sent y'all a message in Discord of Hollywood Hogan. I tell you, I cannot, with a mind that is working here tonight, go against that matchup. So, I'm going to go with Rock versus Hogan.
Bob?
This is really where rewatch value starts to come in.
Yes.
Stone Cold bleeding out of his head. Sometimes I'm just not, I can't do it. You know what I mean? Like there's Flair matches where he gets super bloody that I just can't, like I don't watch him. Like the Flair versus Undertaker and Hell in a Cell. Like I can't watch it Triple H versus Flair in a steel cage match. I can't watch it. It's too much blood. It's just too much. Yeah. The Bret Hart Stone Cold match is right at the very edge of that. So there's never a time when I cannot watch Hogan versus The Rock. Like that match is always, anytime I'm like, hey, let's watch Hogan versus The Rock at WrestleMania. I'm like, yes, I don't care if I'm so drunk I have to close one eye to be able to see the television. I'll still watch it. So Hogan versus Hogan versus Rock, like wins. Yeah. I'm sorry, Steve and Bret, but
no, I agree, guys. The crowd is triple the size actually. Mm. So the volume there. Again, they had to call it on the fly because the crowd reacted in a way they weren't anticipating. The key thing for me with that match is this is the match that cemented Stone Cold. This is the match that, you know, create Austin 3:16 was created at King of the Ring, but this is the match that made him officially, I can get behind this guy.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't think that was possible. And this is also where the brawler side of him started coming out. He was still wrestling Bret, but he started switching into a brawler at this match. So it's iconic. The Crimson Mask moment is one of the greatest moments in wrestling history. But good grief. I could put my screensaver as Hogan and Rock looking at each other.
Yeah.
That moment People paid their hard-earned money for that moment.
It still gives you goosebumps when you watch it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Like, just thinking about it, you're like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And D-Rod loves the NWO.
Yes, I was just fixing to bring that up. I am a NWO mark to the core. I don't mind saying it, Dave, that I'm a NWO mark. All right.
Yeah. I do have a question about this match. Is there a reason Hogan didn't walk out to Voodoo Child on this match?
Probably because they couldn't get the rights to the Hendrix version of the of it. Because Turner had a ton of money and they bought out WCW, but that was probably one of those things that was like WCW leased the rights and Vince didn't want to pay for the rights. So,
that's all I can think. All right, let's go across to the other side of the bracket now, guys. Oh, D-Rod, now you're in pain.
Oh, Lord.
Triple H versus The Undertaker, Hell in a Cell, WrestleMania 28, versus Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle, WrestleMania 21.
Good Lord.
Bob, go first, because I know this one's easier for you.
This going to take a while.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of the Triple H Undertaker match. I understand the story that's going on. I just don't, like, for me, I don't think Triple H is that exciting in the ring anyway.
We know.
He doesn't do a lot for me, never has. I respect the hell out of the guy. He can have great matches with good opponents, but this was just... Also, did anyone else notice how out of shape Undertaker was during this match?
He was really hurt in this match. He was really banged up.
Yeah. So, I feel like this is one of those matches that gets built up a lot to be a lot better than it actually is, outside of maybe the Shawn Michaels stuff and what he does. But if the referee makes the match, then it's not a great match. It's a good referee. Angle and Michaels had a great match. They had a match that was so good that although I've seen it probably 10 times or more, still popped me. Still at the false finishes, I was like, oh, really? Like, so... I got to go with Angle and HBK. Plus, Kurt Angle is so underrated in his WWF run. The fact that Brock and Angle wasn't on here, and the fact that I had to insist that Angle and Guerrero get on here, just goes to show you how underrated Angle's contributions are.
So, yes, they are very underrated. I totally agree with that. Good Lord, have mercy. Strike me down. Lord. Like I said, I don't know if this is going to make it or not, but I love Angle and Michaels. I really do. But I've got to go with my boy, Triple H. I love the ending. I love the DX chop, Undertaker with the sledgehammer. I love that moment. And it just goes to me for another level. So I'm going to make you painful now, Dave. And I'm going to go with Triple H versus the Undertaker.
Dave says that he's ready to play the game.
Ah, are you ready
to play the game?
Break it down.
Triple H is in my top five all time.
Yes.
Because very few men walking this planet have the wrestling IQ that man has. He is a brilliant strategist. He's the game for a reason. He didn't name himself that. Everybody else named him the game. And he just started using it.
Well, that's because he's about to play the backstage game.
Yeah, that end. He's just brilliant. He's so psychologically sound. He and Sean are so psychologically sound. Anything they're involved in.
Holy shit, hold on a second. Yeah. Get You Podcast is here.
What's up, Get Yo?
What's up, Get Yo? What's up, man? Good to come on in. Tell us what you're thinking so far as you're listening. I will wholeheartedly agree, guys. Kurt Angle, if he's not at least minimum your top 15, something's wrong with you.
Yes.
Kurt Angle is so phenomenal. So, I mean, there's so many stories. Bob's probably read them. D-Rod, I'm sure you've read them. There's so many backstage stories of guys challenging him. Empty arena. Get in the ring. Let's see who can outstretch you. Kurt was almost undefeated. Nobody could beat him on the mat. Phenomenal, phenomenal wrestler. And I think the only
person He was a shooter.
Yes.
He's one of the best shooters to ever come in because he came in and within a year, he's in the fucking world title picture.
Yes. Phenomenal. Incredible. Go ahead.
I would say top 10, Dave. Yeah, I know you said top 15, but I would have to say it have to be top 10 for me.
I can see top 15. There's a lot of guys, especially if you go way back into the 70s. Like, there's a lot of guys that we're not talking about.
Absolutely.
You know, the Funks, the Briscoes, you know, Buddy Rogers, going back even further than that. So, you know, let's hold our roll here.
No, I agree.
Let's hold our roll tide.
Let's go with our basal leaves. How about that?
Roll tide. The stories building up to these matches are so good. This is the first of a trilogy, actually, between Kurt and Sean. Their second match at Vengeance was almost as good, not quite. And then they had a match 3 months later. That's what was intriguing about it was the space of that. The emotion of the Hell in a Cell match when Triple H is screaming, "You end this match or I will."
Yes.
And Undertaker foaming at the mouth in pain, literal pain, not selling, literal pain, saying, don't stop it. And it was emotional because it was the culmination of four WrestleManias between these three guys. It was also emotional because the fans knew these three guys can't do this forever. And the new breed are not as tough. They're not as psychologically sound. We can already see the vast rift in old school versus new school. And the fans were like, please, can these guys de-age 20 years and keep doing this? And so there's a lot of emotion there. And that's what, you know, built up with that. But having said all that, the match that popped me more watching it this time in terms of watching these matches again, D-Rod, I love you. I love Triple H. But Kurt Angle versus Shawn is a better match.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle versus Shawn is a better match. It's
a better wrestling match.
It's
a better wrestling match.
You're not gonna get me fired up because I totally agree. It could go either way in my book. So
all right. We're gonna go back up to the top of the other side. This is gonna be very, very difficult again for all three of us, I think. WrestleMania 24, Shawn Michaels retiring, Ric Flair versus Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle, WrestleMania 20.
What?
Ooh.
Y'all put the matches there. This is the way it fell.
Yeah. I know.
I was going to say something right before we go into this match. Give us a little bit more time to think. I'll try to spare us a little time here. But the Triple H versus Undertaker match was the match that I was standing up on. So,
yeah,
I kind of figured.
Yeah,
but I didn't want you to give that away. Because,
yeah, that was the match I was standing up on. But anyways, Lord have mercy, Eddie versus Angle.
I'll give a shout out to Kenny for your thoughts on this. He also said he was at that match live. And when Shawn hit that super kick on Taker and then Triple H pedigreed him right after the super kick, he said, "Oh my gosh, I came here to watch the streak end."
Yeah.
Everybody thought that was it. Everybody thought, okay, this is where it ends. This is where the end of the career is going to be. So,
all right. I'll go first with this one.
Good.
God, this is so hard because Eddie versus Angle is the match. Like, because that was originally in the runoff to even be in this thing. And I put my foot down and said, no, that match is in this tournament. no matter what. I don't care. That match belongs in this tournament. Eddie Guerrero deserves to have a fucking WrestleMania match in this fucking tournament.
Yes.
Get your
this is a great Eddie versus Guerrero angle. This just goes to prove that you can, if you're a heel and you cheat and you turn babyface and the crowd accepts you as a babyface, you can still cheat and they will accept you.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that Sasha Banks has never been a babyface. Being a day. Bad take.
I'm so glad this got worked in.
Anyway.
Bob's allowed to be wrong.
I love that match. The ending of that match, the genius. And it's funny because you watch the match, you see his boot get untied and wiggle out. And like it's so good because it happens so natural. You don't even notice how loose his boot really is until Angle puts him in that ankle lock and he just slips right out of it. And what the fuck? I lose my shit every time I watch that match. It's beautiful. I can't go against Rick and Shawn. Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels is one, it's one probably the best retirement match of all time. Because
100% agree. 100% Shawn agree.
Shines Rick up like a fucking brand new fucking copper penny the whole match. Like, he makes Ric Flair look fantastic, number one. Number two, Rick didn't even know what the match was until Shawn explained it to him that day.
Yes.
So that just goes to show how good Ric Flair was to be able to roll with the match, because Shawn basically called the match in the ring with Rick.
Yes.
Based on what he had planned out. So that's fantastic. Shawn gets injured early on, which gives Rick the advantage. They go back and forth. It's hard fought. It's believable that Ric Flair could actually win this match. In that last moment, that super kick where Rick just says, just come on, end it. Just end it. And Shawn just says, I love you. I'm sorry. I can't. It literally makes me emotional now just talking about it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's such a great, it's a perfect match. It's a perfect, perfect match. And it's got infinite rewatchability because every time I watch it, I get caught up in the story or I see something new or I catch some little thing that they do that I didn't catch the time before. It just, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Eddie. I'm sorry, Kurt. I love you guys, but HBK and Flair is my vote.
I gotta go 100% with Bob because Rick and Shawn, man, I tell you, it's just so amazing to see Ric Flair at this time. And Shawn, like Bob said, Shawn shined up Rick, and it was just so amazing. And yes, it is.
And he was in his 60s.
Yes.
He wasn't like Chris Jericho, who's like, you know, 40 and like, or 50 and like being like blown up. And no. Like, I just saw a video of Ric Flair at what, 57, where he did a suplex off the top of a ladder on Twitter today. So, no, Rick was in his 60s when he got retired. So, let's...
I know you're passionate about this matchup, and I love it, and I'm going with it also.
This was so emotional to watch that match. And I know it's in the final four now, and so we'll get to even talk about it more in a minute. Just to highlight the Eddie versus Kurt match a little bit. Eddie's entrance, classic in that low rider. The lie.
That's his entrance. Isn't that his entrance in the game where he comes out in the yellow, red, and green low rider?
This one was a truck he had souped up to do that.
Oh, okay. And this was a truck. Okay.
Yeah. The thing that I actually wrote this down as I was watching this. Did anybody, Bob? You probably can tell this more than anybody else. Can you name two or three other people that threw a drop kick better than Eddie Guerrero? perfect form, perfect curve in the leg, the height he could get.
I mean, if we're going back
Robert Gibson, maybe?
Oh, no. Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson, Buddy Landell, Bobby Eaton threw a great drop kick. There's a lot of guys that threw a great drop kick. I don't think, but Bill Dundee throws a great drop kick, and he's like a super short dude. Mm. But yes, no, Eddie's drop kick is fantastic.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And he adopted Ricky Steamboat's arm drags. He gave Kurt four or five of them in the match.
Now, those arm drags are like, I'd say that he had some of the best arm drags next to Steamboat.
Yes.
It's hard to do that deep arm drag and make it look really good.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I love the boot moment. It's beautiful. It's hilarious. It's everything it's supposed to be. But guys, the moment in this match where literally I had to pick my jaw off the floor, when Kurt picks him up in that angle slam and he counters it into a head scissors, I was like, how the heck did you just do that? Beautiful.
That just shows you the skill of Angle and Eddie. Cool. It really does.
That's the reason I insisted that this match be in this tournament, is just so we could talk about it, because this is one of those matches not enough people bring up when they talk about great WrestleMania matches. Like, you know, there's people will say Brock versus Angle, Shawn versus Taker, and a million other matches. Nobody says Eddie versus Angle. And this match is so good. If you have never seen it, you haven't watched it. Hell, if you haven't watched it in a year, go back and watch it. Mm. It's so fantastic.
100% agree, guys. 100% agree. And the only thing I'll say in leaving this one, 38 years old, he passed away. Man, do I miss Eddie Guerrero.
Mm.
Holy crap, I miss him. Mm. Man. All right, guys, we're going to go over the other side. This is the last match in the quarterfinals.
Can you imagine what he would be doing right now as a fucking manager?
Yeah.
Because he would be, that's what he'd be doing. He'd be a manager. He'd be talking for people fucking on probably WWE. Could you imagine him as the manager of like a Lucha?
205 Live. 205 Live, Eddie Guerrero's the manager? Holy cow.
No, they wouldn't do 205 Live. He's too big for that. But he could have Lucha House Party, but have him called Lucha something else.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and not only that, guys, him and Ray coaching Dominic.
Oh.
That
dude, Dominic, and I want to say this. Great. I want to say this hands down. Dominic is fantastic.
Yes.
Phenomenal. At first I was like, oh, he's just been in the ring with guys who knows what they're doing. He's still in the ring with guys who know what they're doing. But oh my God, he just gets it. His timing is just fantastic, and his facials and the way he moves around the ring. I'm like, this kid is a natural. He's an absolute natural. I really hope he doesn't get involved in drugs or something, because that's what tends to happen to people that are that naturally gifted and go up the ladder that quick.
Yes.
Well, prayerfully with the dad he has, I don't think he will. And that's partially.
You mean Eddie Guerrero? Because Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, that was a great story. That was a great story. All right, guys. Well, let's finish out the quarterfinals, then we'll get into the very tough final four. This is going to be an easier pick.
I want to say, as far as great ladder matches, because we talked about Razor and Shawn Michaels, Guerrero and Rey Mysterio is one of my all-time favorite ladder matches. The story is so dumb and ridiculous, but the ladder match is so good. Best ladder match I ever saw, though, was Christian versus Rob Van Dam on Raw. I swear to God, I'm not kidding you. They laid that shit in. It's a rough match to watch, but it's really good.
Mm. Yeah. I'll put that one there. Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho's 2008 ladder match. Wow. Incredible. All right, but guys, the last match in the quarterfinals, speaking of ladder matches, Bob, it's right behind you. Are you going to pick HBK versus Razor, or are we going to pick Shawn versus Taker WrestleMania 25?
Ooh.
This is an easy one for me. This is an easy one for me, but
I got to listen to the ladder. Shut up. The ladder's telling me.
Talk to the ladder.
I'm sorry. As iconic as that ladder match is, that ladder match also led to some of the worst wrestling on the face of the planet, where everybody thinks that they have to do a ladder match and that they are Shawn Michaels or have to pretend to be Shawn Michaels. And that Undertaker match is so good.
Yes.
So unbelievably well done, well put together, great story, still pops me to this day.
It's easy.
Taker, I mean, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, it's easy. Taker versus Michaels. But, you know, it's going to take it. This four is about to be just torturous. Because we picked the best of the best. This go good.
I don't. Yeah.
No, I 100% agree, guys. That is an iconic match, and it's true. They set that standard so high with that match. And I think you guys covered it later on. Shawn and Razor did a rematch ladder match, and Shawn won that one. And it, I'm sorry, it's not even three quarters as good as this one.
Yeah,
this one is so good.
It's not. Yeah. It's not. They do some very innovative things in that match. But, okay, the first match actually is a wrestling match that happens to have a ladder in it. The second match is Shawn Michaels rolling around with the ladder while Razor walks around very dazed and confused most of the time. There's a couple of botches in that second match. There are moments in that match that are good. There are moments in that match that are innovative, but it is not anywhere near as good as their first one. So
yeah, I told Bob when we watched that match, I said I'd rewatch the WrestleMania match any day of the week, but that one, you know, that's probably a one-time watch for me. But I just want to give a big shout out to Blowout Man in the chat. What's up, brother? And thanks for coming in.
I could watch it every few years, but yeah, I can't watch it like every month or every year like some of these matches I could.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. All right, guys, we're in the semifinals now. Here's where it starts to get real.
Oh.
WrestleMania 18, Icon versus Icon, Rock versus Hollywood Hulk Hogan, going up against WrestleMania 24, the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels retires Ric Flair.
Oh, my goodness.
This was a matchup I didn't want.
Yeah.
Because I just, like, these matches are so good. And they're so, like, there's such a similar thread running through these matches about why they're so good. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, it's the emotion. They're both very emotionally involved. They're both, like, guys from the past having great matches with guys of today.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, man. I can't.
D-Rod?
Yeah.
I'm going to let Bob simmer because I know he loves Rick versus Shawn. This is going to be hard for me, too, because Rick versus Shawn, oh, my goodness, is great. And then we got a match that blowed me away. And not saying that Shawn versus Rick didn't. It amazing, but Rock versus Hollywood Hogan is just it for me. You know, when I'm talking about it here on this show, it's just, I don't know. It's just, I didn't hold this match in high regard until I watched it for the second time here. And I've just become so just invested in it. And seeing Hollywood and seeing The Rock go at it and the crowd just going wild and everything in that matchup. And then on the other side of the table, you got Rick versus Shawn. What an emotional ending. What an emotional matchup. I, I'm going to go with Rock versus Hogan. And y'all don't know. it's just so hard. But I'm going to go with Rock versus Hogan.
Oh, and I know, and D-Rod, I know you're picking that by the slimmest of margins.
It's slim. Yeah. It's slim.
The criteria for which one goes over has gotten so minute.
Yes.
Because this is actually the reason I'm picking the match I'm picking is the minuteness, most personal thing on the face of the planet. I told you guys this story, and I'm gonna tell the nation. The first real date I ever had with my now wife. We went to a bar, got fish and chips, had quite a few drinks. At the time, my Facebook profile was a velvet painting of Roddy Piper. And she started talking about Roddy Piper. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, I've been a wrestling fan since I was a kid. Like, I met Ric Flair. I met all Arn Anderson, Lex Luger, Sting, all these people when I was a kid, because my sister used to go to where they hung out after the show. She used to go to the bar, the hotel bar, where they hung out after the show. And I was like, really? So I was like, well, my favorite wrestler is Shawn Michaels. Have you ever seen the Ric Flair Shawn Michaels match? She's like, no. I was like, well, I got it at the house. If you want to get a couple beers and come watch Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair with me, we can do that. And she did. And this is really the main reason. Well, it's not the main reason. It's my two favorite wrestlers of all time going up against each other, but it also has a very personal interest in me. So I'm choosing Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair.
Bama, it's your time to suffer now.
Holy crap. All right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Shout out to Getcho. He said, man, y'all are so much more entertaining than Monday Night Raw.
And, I've said this. Give me a second to do my little spiel. I've said this a million times. Put Raw on the DVR. Sorry. I've had a couple of whiskeys. I also have a reason for getting a little drunk tonight, but I'll explain that later. Put Raw on the DVR. Come listen to Back to the Ring because it's fantastic. Next week.
Hands down.
Next week, if we can, we're going to do Check Your Temp about the entire WrestleMania week card. So we're going to do NXT Prelude, NXT Takeover, and WrestleMania, and talk about those matches, piss on those matches, or shine up those matches as we want. So,
all right. Thank you for giving me more time to squeal. my gosh. Crowd investment, Rock and Hogan win that one. Emotional investment, HBK and Ric Flair wins. Storyline building up to it, both emotional, both entertaining at some parts.
Old Yeller.
Yeah, Old Yeller.
yeah, exactly. The dialogue, there's funny moments in the dialogue, but that's when it started getting serious. And honestly, that Monday Night Raw, I think that was the 2 weeks before the match happened. That's the one where I was like, okay, this is not going to be fun to watch. This is going to be emotional. This is going to be intriguing. And wow. Rock versus Hogan was the best of wrestling's past versus the best of wrestling's present. It was a once in a lifetime match. It never happened before. And it never happened again. That was the only time it ever happened. Sean did wrestle Rick like two or three more times before this match. And they were all great matches, but this is the one that is the masterpiece for sure. I just thought of this.
That match with The Rock is probably the best match Hogan ever had.
Yes.
yeah. ever. Mm. The match with Shawn wasn't the best match Rick ever had, but it was one of the most emotional matches Rick ever had.
Yeah, I agree. And okay, so here's what puts WrestleMania 24 nudged up for me. Is the emotion going into this for Shawn. Because Shawn grew up watching Ric Flair. Mm-hmm. And Shawn, if you've ever seen Shawn's Heartbreak and Triumph DVD, I own it, and his beautiful story of his testimony and how he grew up and everything he's been through, he would stand in the mirror with a Ric Flair suit on and put that Band-Aid on his forehead the way Ric Flair always had, and he would quote the promos. And so when this match happened, Shawn planned it out and said, here's how it's going to go. Get in the ring. Don't say a word. And there was a moment in the match right up front when Flair tried to do something. Shawn shoved him in the corner, chopped his chest, and said, shut up and just do what I tell you. Because Shawn knew to give you the proper send-off and make you the legendary Nature Boy Ric Flair at age 61 or 2, whatever he was at the time, you need to trust me. And Shawn made that 62-year-old man look like a 32-year-old man. And when he pulled that trigger and gave him that super kick and said, I'm so sorry, but I love you, it's ranked in the top 3 super kicks of all time, because everybody cries and babbles that had to happen, but no one else but Shawn Michaels could do that for Ric Flair. I love The Rock. I love Hulk Hogan.
I want to take 1 second.
That match is so much better.
Ugh. I want to take 1 second to say something about that match too. Shawn Michaels kissed Ric Flair, rolled out of the ring, and went backstage. He did take away Rick's moment. Which to me makes this the greatest retirement match in the history of wrestling ever. I've never seen a retirement match any better. The only thing that would have been better is if Undertaker had retired when he lost to Roman Reigns and left his gear in the middle of the ring. That's the only way you would have had a better retirement match. So which did you go with? Did you go with HBK and Flair?
It's HBK and Ric Flair.
Well, my sweet just got put down.
I mean, I'll say this. There are, at this point, there's no losers.
No.
No.
We're talking about the top 4 WrestleMania matches of all time.
To get into the 16, you got to be a winner. Yeah.
Yeah, to be the 16, you even got to, like that's ridiculous in and of itself.
Yeah. Of those 30 articles, guys, I had literally like 60 batches on my paper. And then I'm having to go back and find, okay, what's the top 16 out of these? It was crazy, absolutely crazy. And we'll get to honorable mentions here in a minute. There's so many matches I wish could have made this list. And other matches that need more recognition. But okay, that's one. HBK versus Ric Flair, WrestleMania 24 is in the championship round. Now let's find out who its opponent's gonna be.
Ooh.
Oh gosh. Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle. WrestleMania 21 versus Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, WrestleMania 25.
Oh.
And before you guys give your answers, guys, Triple H had one match on this card. Bret had 3 in this list. Taker had 3 in this list. Shawn had 7 in this list. He's Mr. WrestleMania. End of argument. Who wants to go first?
I'm going to give it to you straight. I love Shawn. I love Kurt. That's a great match. Makes me pop every time. But it's not better than Shawn and Taker.
No.
Heaven versus Hell, Light versus Dark. That match from the very opening freaking entrances to the package to the fucking end is just... I can't vote against it. I'm sorry. Like, I love Angle and Shawn. That match is so good and so well done, but no, I can't.
I totally agree with Bob. When we're talking about two great matchups, Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels put on a killer wrestling matchup. But when you're talking about light versus dark, Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, it's for me, it's a totally different, what would you say, level of just being just pulled in. And I love Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, and that's what I'm going with. And it's going to get very tough soon, but but I got to go with Undertaker and Shawn.
Guys, I agree. And what's funny about the Kurt Angle HBK match is, and I want to ask you guys this question, is that the best match Kurt Angle ever had in the WWE?
No. I don't think so. I think he had better matches on other pay-per-views. Yeah. I think actually him and Eddie had a better match. What was it, SummerSlam or Survivor Series? Mm. Like, they actually had a better straightforward match than the one they had at WrestleMania. So they've, like, Angle had a lot of great matches that weren't Mania matches.
Yes.
I agree.
I think there's a lot of people on this list that had great matches that weren't Mania matches. Maybe around SummerSlam we could do a best SummerSlam match, because that would be cool, because SummerSlam's not, that's kind of like when I was thinking about doing watching the old pay-per-views, I was like, SummerSlam and Survivor Series, everybody talks about Mania. Everybody talks about the Royal Rumble. Nobody talks about the gimmick match in the second half of the year and the big pay-per-view in the second half of the year. So, you know, let's talk about those. I'm trying to fill a void here.
I agree. Now, the match that Angle and Shawn Michaels had was such a chess match. Like you said, Bob, everybody expected Shawn to come in and start high flying, and Shawn said, "No, I'll out wrestle this guy." Mm. And it was beautifully done. No one expected that to happen. The moonsaults they both did to each other. Kurt missed his, of course. Mm-hmm. That was what made it look kind of funny.
Well, because Kurt was the heel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yes. 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 Yeah. They did, that story had a great buildup. He brought back Sensational Sherry and made her and beat her up, and
sexy
he brought back Marty Jannetty.
I'll make your ankle hurt.
He brought back Marty Jannetty and Shawn reunited as the Rockers on Raw, and then Kurt beat him up on SmackDown 5 days later. My favorite moment in this match is when Kurt is shaking him, tap out, and Shawn just backs up and kicks his head off. It's like one of the best moments ever. Kurt, of course, sold the heck out of that kick. It was incredible. He probably wouldn't much sell it. I think he took it square in the jaw. But, all right, guys. So that's easy. So now, load your guns, all barrels. Here's the championship match to determine the greatest WrestleMania match of all time, according to us. On one side, you've got WrestleMania 24. You've got the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Probably the greatest wrestler of all time, according to most people.
Yeah.
Versus Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid, who loved Ric Flair, worshipped Ric Flair, and put Ric Flair in such a positive, awesome light. The GOAT, in my opinion, Shawn Michaels versus most people's GOATs, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Versus Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker, WrestleMania 25, which wasn't even the best story going into WrestleMania, but it ended up being the best match by far on that card when that WrestleMania was over. Light versus Darkness, probably in most people's minds, the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. And like I said, of the 30 articles I read, 25 of them had this at their number one. Who wants to try to the heck and untie this and go first?
Oh, good Lord.
I'll go first. Because this really comes down to, this is where it comes down to personal preference. Yes. This is where it comes down to which match would you rather watch? Which match are you going to watch? It's not about better match. I don't think that anything about one of these matches makes it a better match than the other match. I don't. I can't. Like, they're so good and they're so perfect in and of themselves. But I got to go with HBK and Flair. It's my favorite. It is literally, like, I'm not saying it's the greatest match of all time, but it is my favorite, my personal favorite match of all time. I could watch this match every day, literally every day. I could watch this match and I would still find something in it and enjoy it as much as I did the first time I watched it. And you don't get a retirement match. Like there's a lot of special matches in the world of wrestling, but a retirement match is especially special. And you don't get many of those. And you don't get many of those. You don't get any of those. The caliber of HBK and Shawn Michaels. Say what you want about Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. That wasn't a retirement match. That was just a match at WrestleMania. It was great. It was perfect. But it wasn't a retirement match. You weren't saying goodbye to somebody. It didn't have a moment that went along with it. It didn't have a moment after it that one of the opponents completely disappeared for to let his opponent have his last shine in the sun. And that's why HBK and Flair wins for me.
E-Rod?
This is really tough because... Oh my goodness, I've watched both of these matches live as they happened, and both of them I still remember. It's just so emotional with the Ric Flair match. I love in Shawn versus Taker when Taker dives into the cameraman and Shawn gets the referee back into the ring. And it's saying, count, count. Because, you know, Shawn is wanting, you know, he win the match, even if by count out. He said, count.
Streak's over.
The streak is over.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that little key detail. But also on the other side, you got Ric Flair versus Shawn Michaels. And Ric Flair, if there is a person that is a wrestling fan, and Bia Bob has talked about this before, that says that they do not think Ric Flair, I'll say this, is one of the greatest. Because, you know, people can have their own opinion, I understand. But if you
then I don't hear a single word they say after that.
I totally agree. You cannot have an opinion if you do not think Ric Flair is one of the greatest. You cannot. It's not possible. And you know,
if Ric Flair is not in your top five. Then fuck you.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes. And Ric Flair just... He's Ric Flair. The low blow. You know, it's just gold.
Oh, yeah, I forget about that.
The low blow with the referee.
That match where Rick gives Shawn the low blow with the back.
Yes.
When you think Shawn's about to win and takes back over.
Yeah.
It's such a good... Damn it, that match is so good.
It is good. And that's why I'm going with it. I'm going with Ric Flair versus Shawn Michaels. So,
wow.
You know, I love Undertaker versus Shawn, but, you know, if I'm taking it back to when I was watching live Ric Flair, that moment, that kick, I love you. You just don't get better than that in wrestling when thinking
that
about
moment.
Moments. Yes.
That moment where he just mouths and kicks him in the face.
Yes.
Like, that's just, you don't.
Instant tears. Instant tears. Yeah.
Yeah. And I can watch it over and over again. I swear to God, Shawn did such a good job putting that fucking match together. Like, you couldn't put together a better Ric Flair match.
And this is why I argue so much, Bob. You got to at least argue he's one of the greatest. He's the greatest of all time. Because for Shawn to take a loss and do what he did for Ric Flair and put him over the way he did and orchestrate it in such a way where I'm going to lose here, still be the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, but everybody's going to remember this is the freaking Nature Boy Ric Flair. And
Sean won.
Wow.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean? In terms of the whole thing of
For Sean to win but still put the other guy over.
Exactly. Yes. Mm. Yes.
No, everybody, opposite of what the Young Bucks do. They lose, but they still put themselves over. I'm sorry.
No, exactly. Everybody kind of remembers Sean won that match, but everybody remembers Ric Flair. Everybody remembers Ric Flair taking the kick. That's and everything else that happened. So, no.
The first thing I think about is the obvious, like 40 people that had to all buy tickets beside each other to get the woo. That goes across the stadium.
Yes.
You know, like that was a huge moment. I know a lot of people don't think it, but I remember when it happened. Like I watched it live. I remember when it happened at the time. And I just, oh my God. Like it was, I literally, like, I was torn because I'm like, oh, Shawn Michaels is great, but I don't want to see Ric Flair retire. But he needs to retire. But I don't want to see him retire. So,
and I'm glad y'all didn't bring it to me in a tiebreaker, because the one sour thing about that match to me is Ric Flair actually kept going in another company.
Yeah, I know.
I wish he hadn't. I wish he hadn't.
Well, we as Ric Flair fans as a whole ignore the fact that TNA ever happened. That was something else.
Yeah.
That was a obvious clone or a android of some type. I don't know, but
Ric Flair was in TNA.
That was not Ric Flair.
What?
Ric Flair was in TNA.
What?
Yeah.
Exactly. Right, exactly. Yeah, I agree.
What?
I wrote down for WrestleMania 25 the moment for me, other than of course the kick out of the tombstone. Well, actually, it happened right after that. The moment that happened, there's dead silence on the mics, and Jim Ross screams, "I just had an out-of-body experience."
Yeah.
That line is the epitome of that whole match. It really is.
It is. Like I said, every one of the, especially the top four, maybe even the top eight, like I can hear arguments for any of them being great WrestleMania matches, especially depending upon when you grew up. Because there's people who grew up with Eddie and Angle being like their guys.
Yes.
So like they might not understand that, you know, Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair were huge or whatever. Anyway, let's wrap this up real quick. Anybody got stuff to plug?
Well, of course, you know, WWC be live tomorrow night right here. Deception, 7 p.m. Central Time. And then, of course, we'll be back next Monday, hopefully. Check your temp. And if you're listening on podcast, make sure you subscribe. Leave us a good rating.
Leave a comment, too. Yeah. I love comments. Like, I want to hear what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong.
No, that's Obama. You got anything?
You can follow me on Twitter at BamaDave24. This has been a very emotional evening, but I've enjoyed every second of it.
Yes.
Getting to relive these great moments. This is why we're wrestling fans, guys. The investment emotionally, the love of the sport, the love of the characters, the stories, is why we love it. There's so many other matches that could have made this list. Brock versus Kirk at 19. Mm. Stone Cold versus Rock at 19. I'm sure you guys could spit out two or three real quick. That's the only,
Everyone, BamaDave, calm down for a second. Relax. Chill out. What we're going to do is we're going to end the show, and if you're live in the Twitch, you're actually going to hear our honorable mentions and matches that we thought should have made the cut. And we'll talk about some of the things that we were like, wow, I didn't imagine that match would go that far, or I thought that match would go further. We're going to talk for another probably about 15, 20, maybe half an hour, depending upon how long everyone wants to stay around. But for now, this has been Back to the Ring, and it's been your pleasure. Good night.
And what I've been by the point, it's...
Recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.